third episode of fourth year. I'm here to talk with you once again. Today, I kind of want to get into something that I've been thinking about this past week, which is kind of always the theme of what I do on the podcast anyway. But it's about kind of your relationship with your childhood self. I've kind of been thinking about it a lot lately because I recently, or you know, in the last episode, I was kind of struggling with like my, not my identity, but like just how I am in my present world. And I wanted to kind of heal some of the things that I developed like in my past. You know, like those feelings of like insecurity and fear of rejection and just like overthinking, you know, because like we all know, I'm a major overthinker. And it can be helpful, but most of the time I don't like it. So I came up with, I went to the park right after I was having a moment of overwhelmedness, and I walked to the park and I called my mom, and she just kind of helped me through. Because, okay, here's the thing. I talk about therapy, right? And I'm like, I'm going to do it. But then I'm like, I honestly just need someone to like bounce off of. And I usually fix my problems myself. Because I literally did that. I was on the phone with her and she was giving me this advice, which I was also taking. But then I was like, okay, wait. Like, I feel like I hit a wall of like, of just like, this is too much of overthinking and being self-conscious and blah, blah, blah. And I was feeling like super just like, you know, just again, overwhelmed. And what I came to the conclusion of is that I wanted to, starting that day, it was October 27th, I wanted to heal my like inner child that I was hanging on to in middle school and in elementary school. I mean, yeah, middle school, but mainly like, because I always say, it's kind of crazy because I always say my prime of my life was like, you know, like fourth, fifth grade. And I wonder why, right? Like, why do I think that? And it's because when I was that age, I wasn't like tainted with like drama and insecurity and self-consciousness. And I was just myself. Like, I was funny. I was extroverted. People always came to me if they wanted to laugh, if they wanted to have a good time, or like, you know, fun time, like a good time when you're a kid is like, what, playing kickball? So basically, and me just telling jokes and stories. And like, I loved the feeling of, I would literally, okay, this is insane. Like, lunchtime would hit. I would like stand at the edge of the table and just tell a story. Like, I'd just be like, even if it was like, sometimes I would like really over exaggerate what I was saying, but like, I would stand there and I would be so animated and everybody would be looking at me and like just cracking up, and I'm like, this is what I live for, you know. And I didn't even notice that, and like people would come to me like, Maya, do it again, do the impression again, or whatever it was. And like, I loved it. Like, I was like, this is, you know. And so as the years went on, that part of me like really diminished, you know, because I began to feel so self-conscious. And like, I don't know, like people changed, and like the innocence of like just wanting to laugh and like, I don't know, and just like connection kind of really changed. And I think that's what really got to me. And like, for some reason, it just like really affected me. And I wasn't able to keep that part of myself. And so at that park, I came to the conclusion that I wanted to live for that version of myself, because it's my true self, because that's how I am when I'm by myself. Like, I think I've said this before, like when I am just talking to myself, like I like myself so much better than how I interact with people, because I'm just so much realer. And like, I don't feel afraid to say what I want to say and be funny and stuff like that. And it's just like, I don't know exactly how to explain it fully, but that's just how it is. And like, I, you know, I take videos of myself and I like watch myself. I'm doing like a vlog or something. I'm doing my makeup in the morning, whatever. And I'm just like, damn, like I'm actually real and relatable and funny. And like, this is how I want to be, you know? And so I was taking all these thoughts that I was feeling. I'm like, okay, this is the day I'm going to mark it where I am wanting to live and foster how I used to feel, you know? because I want to break down these walls for the sake of my little fourth grade self. Like, she was so lit. Like, I want to be like that. And I feel bad that she had to be like in the shadows for so many years. Like, how many years has it been? I don't know. Oh my god, like 10 years, over 10 years? That's sad. But it's not to say that the years that I've been since then have not been like really beneficial to my growth, you know? Because they have. Like, I'm the person I am now. I've gone through so many like amazing like eras of my life that bring me to how I am now. But I think it's something that's always been hanging over my head, you know? Like, I want to explore it. I don't want to like move on and think like, oh, I have to be like this. And honestly, it's giving me a sense of purpose and like a direction, you know, which is what I wanted because I was stuck. So I just want to like, when I am questioning my character and I'm questioning how I'm acting or how I should interact with this person or blah, 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 I want to go back to her and think, what would she say? Like, because already something kind of really cool has happened to me just by like following that mentality. And a part of it is breaking out of introvertedness, which is a definite like huge challenge for me, but it's been like really fun. Like, just like, and I've already felt the repercussions of it, and it's like what, been like a week or something, and like it's just like more things like just when you like see your coworker and it's just like, instead of just like cruising by and like, hey, you know, just adding a little something extra. And like, you know, like if I was like passing my friend, I'd be like, oh my god, like your shirt is so cool, like I got mine here, and like, you know, like I would wear that if I went to that store, you know, and stuff like that. You know, it's just like a simple like reaching a little further into the conversation, you know. But the thing is, it's like I have to also find a good balance between that doing interactions like that and like sounding a little bit childish, because sometimes, okay, like I'm one person to like literally follow rules like to detail like so precisely, and so sometimes I'm like, when I'm confused, I'm like, okay, what do I say, you know? And that's when the overthinking comes. But I'm starting to like get into this groove of just like balancing between how I am now and how I was, which is fun, you know. I feel like, because it's all in myself, and kind of like what I did was, I have like some little videos that, because in middle school I had an iPad, so sometimes I would take videos of me and my friends, and like I was just watching them. This is what kind of kickstarted my revelation like earlier, because I was like, I was feeling reminiscent. I was going through like middle school and like elementary school footage that I had, and I'm like, oh my god, like I miss this. And then it kind of gave me that direction, you know. And like, I like watching it and like seeing how I interact, and like I was just so like silly, and like, you know, like I want to bring it back, because like that part of me is still there, but I want her to shine, you know. So if you're, I feel like it's really cool to compare how you are now to when you were a kid. And for me, it's something that I really needed to do. It was really important because I really loved how I was when I was a kid. And it's crazy because it's like, what gets me though is that how, when I was a kid, I was a quiet kid in general, but like, once you knew me, like my friends, which is kind of how I am now, but like I was like, my friends gave me energy, like the good vibes that they gave me, it just radiated, you know. Like I could have been a quiet person, but if I was like done like telling a joke and just made everybody laugh, I would stand up in the front of the class and like I'd read a story essay, I don't know what it's called, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like I got so much courage and like driving energy from making people laugh or talking with people and like being silly. Like I always like to just be that, like kind of like a teacher's pet, but like a silly one, like the one that the teacher would be like, oh my god, okay Maya, like sit down, like stop like standing behind my desk and like calling me a fairy. Like, I don't know, like I would just be like really silly like that. And like, since I knew, it was also really close knit and in middle school, like really small, like everybody knew each other, you know, so I was able to be like that, you know, and it wasn't too bad. And like, just leave, like get up and leave class, and like, I'm gonna go get a lollipop from the principal's office because she likes me. And then, you know, and then just come back and like, okay, my, you know, sometimes I would run around the school without shoes on, or, you know, like just like stuff like that where I was just like kind of bold, you know, when I got comfortable. And I, you know, she was just so cool. And like, I want to be like that. I mean, it's obviously different circumstances now, but it's showing me like how she doesn't, like that version of myself doesn't have to be so foreign, you know, because I mean, like these past 2 years, I think I've been like probably, well, now is like the most introverted I've ever been in my life, you know. In high school, I was also very introverted, but I would talk with my friends, you know, and I wouldn't, you know, I had to be a little bit like social to like get a friend group, because I went to high school with no friend group, so I had to like make it, you know. And yeah, I was pretty quiet. But now in college, it's like you go to class, you look at the professor, you sit there and lecture. Maybe it's a class where you have to collaborate, but like also like, hey, this is my opinion, blah blah blah, very simple, and then you leave. Like, it's like, it's not like that same classroom dynamic where you can just goof around and it'll be okay, and your teacher will be like, oh yeah, you know, that's just you, like quiet down. Like, it's like very like, it's on you to, you know, absorb your education. So that's why it's like serious, like everybody's locked in, like they gotta focus. But like back then in school, I was just like, oh, we're learning about the pilgrims, whatever. And then I'd be like, go out and like be like, or ask silly questions like, Miss Anderson, like what do you think they ate when they were on, you know, just like what? And she's like, that's not really relevant to what I'm saying right now. You know, like, it's just, it's different. It's different. But yeah. Oh my God, no way. Sorry. I'm going to try not to get distracted. But yeah. That was, yeah, wow, I lost my train of thought. Yeah, different vibes in the classroom. But now I feel like that I'm a senior, it's like a little bit like culminating, because it's like, okay, now I'm relaxing. Like, you know, my second year, I was like, yeah, this is getting serious. Like, first year is like, oh, so amazing, discovery, exploring. Second year is like, okay, I gotta get serious. Third year, I had to stick up my ass. Like, I was like, okay, I have to get my good grades. And like, because my GPA dropped when I was second year, oops. But now I'm like, well, I have to do good, but like, it's my last year and I'm not gonna stress if I don't have to. Like, this is my mentality, you know. It's literally like senior year of high school, like same thing. You're just like, not senioritis though, it's like I'm still focusing and I feel invigorated to learn, but it's just like, okay, I'm not gonna spend, because oh my God, this is the thing that gets me about these professors here, is that like, I will walk into a class sometimes and the professor will be like standing there at the front and they'll be kind of serious, and I'll be like, okay. And then they'll be like, guys, I hate to break it to you, but you guys spend a lot of money to be here, and this means that for a 5-unit class, you have to be spending 15 hours outside of class time for studying and enrichment. I'm like, who the hell is gonna do that? Like, actually, who's gonna do that? Yeah, people will focus and they'll study when a midterm comes, but like, then you tell us, oh, join extracurriculars, then also make friends, then go out and party, then explore your hobbies. Like, what? Like, you want us to do all that? Like, no, I'm not spending 15 hours out of this class to study and read. Like, I'm gonna maybe spend an hour before and after class. Like, that's the reality, you know, because I want to, like, at this point in my life, I really want to define what my hobbies are and what I like to do. And, you know, like, it's like, you got to build character, because then we have to go out into the world and then be like, mingle and be adults. And it's like, you know, they expect you to be like well-rounded and like defined when you get out of college, which is like not the situation. So Yeah, guys, to the professors that do that, come on. Like, be realistic. There's some professors, I have a professor this quarter. She's actually amazing. She's so, like, real, and she just knows what the vibe is. You know, it's just like when you're tone deaf to the feelings of your students, it's like, come on, man. And it makes you hard to learn. It makes it hard to learn too. Like, I don't get it. But when I have teachers like that, it's so refreshing, because it's like, you get it, you know? Like, teachers that, like, for example, it's just past Halloween, and some professors were like, okay, we're not gonna have class the next day because we know everybody's gonna be hungover and not want to come. Like, yeah, you get it. And then there's, like, other professors that's like, oh, homework is due Friday afternoon. You're like, what are you doing? Like, why do you have, you know, why do you hate people in their 20s? Like, I don't understand. But yeah, I am trying to, like, really take it easy on myself, which is what I always say. But honestly, because I really want to enjoy my time, and I feel like it was necessary for me to come to this, like character development right now, because I have the time. I feel like I was literally on pause of, like, my self-assessment for so long because I had to lock in, you know, and now I'm like, it's actually real, you know, like, things are gonna start happening, and I have to, like, be okay with how I am. So I think, like, that contributes. I just didn't know it was gonna happen this early in the fall, but, you know, here we are. But it's good. Like, I feel like I hit, like, kind of a low, you know, in the past couple of weeks, but now we're on a good path up, and it's paying off already, which is really nice. And I want to, like, talk about something, like, that's going on currently to me, but I don't want to, like, reveal that much about myself, which is, like, I know, like, I'm causing a divide in whoever's listening to this, but just not right now. Maybe I will later, but anyways, it's just something that I said in the last episode in regards to, like, oh, like, you have to be, like, this, like, a certain way in order to, like, meet someone new, that has now come into play for me now. So that I don't know if that made sense, but, you know, I get it. I get it. And maybe later I'll share about it. But for now, I'm not going to do that. But it's just, guys, be excited. Like, gosh darn it, you know? It's just, I feel like people prepare for the worst all the time. And I know you have to balance the feelings, the reservation, and the scaredness, and the pulled backness. And you have to balance that with just being excited for life and going for it and feeling the feelings. And, you know, there's a balance, because you can't do both, because if you feel the feelings and all the positivity, you might overshoot it, right? People don't want to do that, and then it's like, you don't want to, like, regret that you didn't feel that way, but at the same time, you want to keep, just be mindful, you know, because sometimes you have to navigate situations where you feel these strong feelings in the moment, and you're like, this is so great, amazing, but then you have to, like, do a little reality check. You're like, okay, maybe this, you know, especially, like, I mean, it depends on the type of person you are, you know, like, if you can just go for it and feel the feelings, and it's okay, you know, to maybe, I don't know, feel the negative end result. I mean, I'm not saying that it's gonna end negatively. I'm just saying, in the case that it does, I'm sorry. But if you're the type of person that can do that, like, obviously, like, yes, you do you. But if you're kind of precautious, if you're kind of cautious like me, you know, sometimes you have to do those reality checks, because it's like, I want to make sure that I'm setting myself up for a good future, especially because I'm, like, so, you know, overthinker and stuff, you know. I'm not emotionally fragile, but I'm like susceptible to feel, you know, certain emotions. So like everyone. But yeah, I feel like going back to like reminiscing, it's good to do that. Like if you haven't like looked at your childhood photos in a while, like it's fun. You know, it can be bittersweet depending on like how your childhood was. Which like for me, sometimes I see photos and it's like really bittersweet. I'm like, oh, you know, like things were so different. I think I always think things were so different when I was a kid. Like I feel like especially, I don't know, this is just me, obviously, because I have this one life and I'm only experiencing this life. But like, people that were born in the early 2000s that are adults now, like the early 2000s were like different. Like they were so like, how do I describe, like it's just like everything was like bigger than you, and it was so exciting and new, and like, yeah, just I can't describe it, but like, you know, it like melancholy, I don't know. I mean, I feel like that's how it is for everybody that reflects on their childhood, but the early 2000s were really cool, like really great fundamental movies and music and toys and super cool like gadgets, you know, like, you know, and then just like the people in general, like, sorry, stuff like that. And it's just like, whoa, I reflect back, I'm like, that it was insane. The times are different now, but they're also have their own vibe, you know. So but yeah, reminisce, it's fun. And then, you know what I also like, this is something like so like side branch off of like kind of like this analyzing your younger self is I sometimes, you know, sometimes one as one struggles with their physical appearance and they're like self-conscious and it, you know, becomes a thing and you're just like, what the heck, you know. But I was looking at like photos of me as a little kid and I'm just like, she's so cute and she's pretty and she doesn't have anything on her face and she didn't need it. Like, it was just how it was. And I have the same face. Obviously, everybody has the same face. And I'm just like, you know, it makes you appreciate. I feel like maybe it may be more for like, you know, girls or, you know, people that wear makeup, or it's just like, sometimes seeing your childhood self like humbles you and you're just like, that's my beautiful childhood face, like, and I still have the same face and, you know, my natural beauty is there, you know. I think sometimes it's like hard to see it because, you know, you put the makeup on, you do your hair, you're like, I need to have this, you know. It's a lot, especially for girls, you know. And going back to like just looking at myself, I'm like, she's so cute. And I have the, like, I looked at myself, I took off my glasses and I'm like, that's literally her. I mean, obviously I look different, like my nose looks different, my eyes look different, you know, the face shape, everything, but like the features are still there and the wonderment and like the, you know, like the happiness. I mean, like I'm surprised, I'm like looking back at so many photos of myself as a child and so many of them are me laughing, which is like, again, going back to episode one, love laughing. So like my smile, I mean, not that they're like really defined right now, but the smile lines and just like everything about my face, I'm just like, I love it, you know. I think it's really, it's a different form of self-love to go back to like your kid face, your baby face or whatever, you know, because your face changes, but it's still the same. It's still the same face that's seen all of your life. And it's important to appreciate it and like not neglect that part of you, because sometimes it can bring you back. Like, I'm, again, just like I explained, like going back to my childhood self has been really relevant for me right now. So it's like really, you know, really wholesome for me. I feel like I throughout my life have been pretty wholesome. Like, I don't know, look, I don't have wholesome, take it as you will. I just, you know, I haven't been someone that always like chases like exhilaration or has engaged in like really risky things, or like, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but like, I've always just like lived within the lines and done what's good for me. And I'm also just the way I was raised, like the movies, the music, the values of my family and my friends. Like, I've been like, now it's resulted me to be like a hopeless romantic, and I romanticize myself, the people around me, my environment, especially myself, you know. I just sometimes, you know, like when they say like, oh, romanticize you like going to the store, romanticize you going to the library at your college to study, you know, like sometimes I am living that without me acknowledging that I'm romanticizing it, you know. Like, I'll go like, oh my god, like I did it a lot my first year. I was very lonely, and I would take the bus to the beach and sit there and listen to music and talk. Okay, there was like this one cliff edge that I would sit at. First of all, very dangerous, but I would sit at this cliff edge, and there was someone buried or something. There was like not a tombstone. It was like a big, large rectangular stone with their name on it. But I don't know what the situation was, but they were dead and they were there. And sometimes I'd be like, hey, like, I'd be like, I don't know who you are. And I forgot the name, but like, I would just like talk and I'd just be like, you get it, right? Like, I wonder what type of life you, like, who does that? Like, who goes to a cliff edge at the beach and talks to a random like grave, you know? Like, I don't know. And I would just listen to music that really like moved me in that moment, or like that matched the vibe. And like, I would just like do things a lot by myself and just smile at people and say hi to babies, and like, I don't know. And then I would come home and I'd be like, oh, that was beautiful, like I'm gonna go paint it. And I would paint in my little corner desk, and sometimes my roommates would be like looking over my shoulder looking at what I was painting. I'm like, ah, hey, you know. And I'm just like in my little world with my candles, and even though we weren't supposed to light candles in our dorm, but you know, just things like that. Or like, I don't know, I can't like list every single moment. Obviously there's a lot that I felt like I'm like romanticizing my own life, but it's just about, I don't know, just doing what makes you feel alive and healthy, you know. It's just, it's, yeah, it's fun to do that because you want to feel good about what you're doing at the end of the day. And I feel like that's like an important part of it, is just like, even like people struggle with like, I don't know, like authentic living and then like inspired living and then like living because you saw it on social media and you're just doing it for like the picture, right? Like, I used to always, like, sometimes I'd be like in the middle, like inspired living, and then I'd be like, well, this is like not what I usually do. But then I would like, I'm not acknowledging me that I like really live like that. Like, it's just like wholesomely, and this is my life. And you know, because sometimes you have to take a step back. You're like, I do live how I want to live, you know, like it's true. And sometimes you just need a little extra inspiration. But yeah, then there's those people that just kind of like see it on social media and they're just like, I'm going to do it and take a photo and then that's it, and make it seem like I do that in real life, but they don't, you know. Like, oh my God, like, for what's a good example? Like, okay, like people that smoke cigarettes, right? There's like people that genuinely smoke cigarettes, or like Europeans, or I don't know, people that just are into that, you know. And then there's people that like think, oh my God, I'm gonna do that, it's so cool, and take a photo and then post it, and then I never am gonna smoke another cigarette ever again. And it's just like, bro, like, why are you faking it, question mark? And is it even worth it in that moment? Like, someone gonna be like, wow, that's super cool, they smoke cigarettes, you know. Like, I get, like, but then I understand that there's people that smoke that cigarettes and, you know, they're just like badasses. And I'm just like, yes, you know, doesn't mean I'm gonna go smoke a cigarette, but like, I appreciate the coolness and like the vibe. But like, if you're doing it for show, it's like, why, you know? Like, just I'm sure there's things that you like to do that people are like, oh wow, that's really cool, you know. Yeah, I don't know where I was going with this whole point, but I guess I just want to like start romanticizing. I gotta adjust. Start romanticizing like the things that I do, and it's not like in because I'm trying to like live aesthetically, but it's like literally just how I used to live. Like I want to do that again, you know. And I used to like, there's another thing. So I think things are just going to keep popping into my head. Like, okay, my first year I took an astronomy class and it was like about planetary systems, right? It was mostly about our solar system, but we learned about constellations and the stars and everything like that. And I started to get really into it, and I started to like memorize all the names of these constellations and how they looked in the sky. And I'm like, this would be such a good a skill to have, not skill, but like something about me that if I went on a date with someone, like we're laying on a field and I can tell them what the constellations are, like that's so cool, you know. And like that was a form of me trying to like, you know, like be like interesting. I mean, it's not that I wasn't interesting, but I was just like, this is so cool, you know. Obviously I've maybe only know two constellations now in my head, and I'd never went on the date to tell someone the constellations, but like it can still happen. And I think like an important part of like something you should acknowledge about yourself is, even if you don't have like, you haven't built these deliberate skills, maybe you used to have them, whatever, it's still like fun to just be honest about it. And like, okay, here's the example, right? Like, let's just say I go on a date with someone like now, and it's this situation, and I'm like, oh my god, the stars. And I'm like, shoot, I don't know any of the constellations. But it's fun to just be like, well, when I was 18, I memorized all these constellations and I thought that I would be able to tell them to someone, but now I've forgotten them all. And then the moment's like funny because they're like, oh my god, like that's like so cool that you would even think of that. And then you guys can just like explore the constellations together because you both don't know. Or maybe that person knows a constellation, I don't know. But you know what I mean? Like, I think a big part of like what I also have to acknowledge is just the things about you, period, are okay and acceptable and can also be romanticized. Like, you don't have to like develop these certain like habits or interests to like make yourself more interesting if you feel that need, you know, that like need to do. Like, the things about you are, you know, just about yourself are worth sharing and worth being acknowledged by another human as well. Is the point, you know? Like, I feel like people feel a lot of pressure to be interesting and have all these niches, and you know what I mean? Like, because sometimes I feel like that sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes I'm like, oh, should I be more interesting, you know? But I'm like, no, like I'm pretty much fine, like as long as you're real. And it always depends on like how you treat it, you know? Like, instead of like being really embarrassed or like super like self-conscious and I'm like, I hate this about myself, you know, you can like love it about yourself. Or like you can be like, you know, I wish I was like this, but I'm not. But you know, it's okay because I can always like work on it, you know. And that person, it like appreciates the realness. And I think like, oh man, like something that people, one of like a bare minimum things that is just becoming a not bare minimum thing is just appreciating the realness of another person, whether it be a friendship or a partner. Like, just knowing an authentic person and just being like vulnerable and real is important, and it's like worth working on, you know. Because oh my god, I find myself, okay, I daydream a lot, guys. This is something that I do a lot. And I find myself having these daydreams now where it's just like me having a vulnerable, real moment with someone. Usually it's a guy because, you know, but it's just like, and then I reflect back, I'm like, this is literally the bare minimum, like a guy acknowledging me for my realness. Like that's what a relationship should entail from early stages. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like overthink it, you know? And like you know, like I'll think like, okay, I want to say like one of the scenarios I think of. Okay, I think of scenarios where like I am watching like an emotional movie with someone on, like we're like sitting on a couch and it's like, okay, I know this movie always makes me cry, but I'm gonna watch it with this person because they mean a lot to me. And we're like watching the movie, and then it gets to the part where it makes me sad and I like start crying, and then the person's all like, oh my God, you're crying. And then, like, you know, it's like really sweet though. It's like, oh, you know, are you okay? Like, I'm here. And like, you know, and it's just like, just comfort, like being comforted for your realness is like, ah, oh, it like makes my heart melt, because it's like never like, especially something like in a romantic way, like I don't have a lot of experience with. So something like that just melts my heart. I'm just like, oh, I long for it so bad. And just like, you know, like, because when, especially when you're like trying to, you know, be open to a relationship, okay, like when you're first meeting that person, your flaws are, you think are gonna like def like be like negative, obviously. Like you're just like, oh, like I'm not good enough, they're not gonna like me, this and that. But I think if you can surpass that like temporary like time with getting to know that person, those flaws and anything that you're like self-conscious of turn into like turn or things of endearment for the other person. Like they're like, I love this about you, and it makes you, and like it makes me feel closer to you, you know. And I kind of love that arc, whatever it is, because it's just like I feel a very like huge potential to feel that for someone, you know. Like, you know, even happened, like, I mean, obviously it's happened with my friends, you know, like you're like, oh, I'm, you know, they're self-conscious about this and that, but like the things that they're self-conscious about or that make them like feel like nervous of sharing with me, I'm just like, I love that about you, like, you know. And so if I can feel like that for a friend, I can definitely feel it for a partner or boyfriend, because it's just like, and especially it's like such a close, much closer relationship too, and it's like more, it's deeper, it's like you're intimate, you know. So like those things that you're just like, oh my God, I hate that about myself, I'd really hope that they like ended up liking it about you, you know, because that's like how you get closer. But yeah, those are all just, that's just like what I think. And sometimes it's like so, like I already know the people, hopeless romantic people out there, I get it, I get it. It's either very, it's both, it's very painful and empty, but then it can also be very fulfilling and bountiful. I don't even know if that's the right word to describe it, but like, you know what I mean, it's like very on the two extremes, because I want to experience like things that are so like, I don't know, like standard or like in the movies, you know. But it's like, I think like I am gonna experience this and it is gonna happen for me, but then it's like, oh, when? It's the matter of when that gets me. I'm just like, because then I don't know, I feel like a lot of people these days like don't socialize, and like sometimes you're just like, how am I gonna meet someone, and how am I gonna meet someone when I'm out of college? Like I don't want to go to a bar and meet someone, and some drunk guy's gonna come up to me across the bar and be like, hey, I saw you from across the bar and you looked really pretty and I just wanted to buy you a drink, like what do you do? I'm gonna be like, where's my friend, you know. Like especially like in a setting where you're like drunk, it's like, well, it can give you some courage, but then at the same time it's like, well, what are your intentions? Like you don't know if that person just wants to, you know, not know you for a long time, or they do. So something like that scares me. I know like people meet others, they're like co-workers, or like, you know, the iconic ones like at a coffee shop, but people are trying to get their coffee and leave, you know what I mean? Like I don't understand like all these iconic like ways of meeting someone, and it's just like, I don't want to do dating apps when it's like mid-20s dating apps. Are you kidding, bruh? Like that's not gonna work out. Like, you know, I want to meet someone organically. obviously, like a lot of people do, you know? And it's like people like I saw a TikTok that was like day something, it was like so many days, like day 200 and something of being single and trying to organically meet someone. And it was like they went to the library and studied, and then they went to a coffee shop and lingered, and then they went to the flea market, and you know. And it's like, oh my god, like I know this is like kind of mean, but I felt sad. I'm like, wait, like I don't know, like it's just like where the intention lies. Like if you're there in the moment and you're really just wanting to meet someone the whole time, like I don't know, you know, about that. But I feel like I have like such a bittersweet relationship with this idea that people have, like unlikely things will happen when you're not thinking about it, right? Like they say, like, oh, like you'll meet someone when you least expect it. Oh my god, do I hate that, because it makes me think about meeting someone all the time. I'm just like, well, then I want to meet someone right now. And then I'm like, okay, well, I'm not going to think about it, because then if I don't think about it, it's going to happen for me. And then all I can think is think about it. So I'm just like, boy, like, how do I get out of this endless loop of just, you know? And then, like, I'll, like, reflect back. I'm like, oh, I really wasn't thinking about it, but did I meet someone? No. Okay. So it's not true for, like, everything. I think what resonates a little bit more with me is, like, when you engage in your interests, you'll find likely people to be with. Like, I don't know. Like, they always say, like, do things that you love, and then you'll meet someone that has, like, similar interests and stuff. Which I feel like is a good way, you know? But, look, let's take a huge step back. Don't put too much pressure on yourself to, like, just find someone. I don't know, like, I get it, you know, because for me, you know, like, I get lonely, I understand, you know, I'm just like, well, is it ever gonna happen for me? But at the end of the day, life unravels how it does, how it is meant to unravel, you know, the timing of it. It's just, I think you feel more desperate to be in a relationship in a very short amount of time, and you're just like, oh my god, like it's been 2 years and I haven't met someone and what's going on, you know? But it's just like, that's just the circumstances of life. I don't know. And everything happens how it's supposed to and when it's supposed to. And that idea comforts me, because I'm just like, everything happens how it's supposed to, like, really. And if you find something, I feel like when you know, like Lana Del Rey song, when you know, you know. It's true though, like it feels right when you are in a scenario in which you're supposed to be. And all you can do is see it through and see what happens. I mean, yeah, like that's how it is. Like you just have to see things through. And go for it, you know. It's just like, yeah, it's hard, because see, now I'm like really pensive right now, because I'm like, well, am I in a situation where I should like see things through? And you know, yeah, I think it's just, yeah, life is so unpredictable, guys. Like, it's so like, you don't know what's gonna happen. And I feel like, okay, this is why I'm doing this podcast. I'm just figuring life out. I'm seeing how things are unraveling, and I'm just narrating, and you know what I mean, and just like thinking the thoughts, because you truly don't know what's gonna happen. Like, nothing is planned. Like, even no matter how meticulous you are and how much of a person that you like to follow rules and schedules and agendas, whatever, you don't know what's gonna happen. And like, all you can do is just sit there and experience it, you know what I mean? Like, you can be proactive, obviously, which is like the goal, but like, ultimately, you just have to keep living life. You just have to keep going, and things happen how they happen. And yeah, with the occasional, if it's like really fast paced and you don't really have time to like reflect, do that, you know. It's good. And essentially what I'm doing every time I sit here to record is reflect. So it's like, because you know, I was just like thinking to myself like a couple minutes ago, I was like, I really go on this podcast and I don't plan anything. I came up with what I was going to talk about this morning. So it's like really impromptu and I kind of like that. And I hope you guys appreciate it because I used to like think I was going to like plan. Because again, like I just said, I'm like very meticulous and like I like to plan things. But no, this is the one thing that is one of my hobbies I am in control of. And this is my form of creativity. So I can go on here and I can talk about what feels right to me. Anyways, yeah, I'm at a crossroads. What do I talk about? It's been 45 minutes. I'm usually like, I have so much to say, but I think like, I just wanted to put out to the world, to the people that like you are the only thing you have, and the best thing you can do is to like be true to yourself and be forgiving of yourself and just have fun along the way. Not to sound like a calendar, but like it's so true. It's like sometimes you disregard aspects of yourself that need attention. And for me, it was my childhood self. And it's brought me a lot of clarity thinking about it now. And it's given me some direction. And, you know, like I'm at a stage in my life where I'm like, what the hell is going to happen next? But all I can do is just like be comfortable in myself and execute. You know what I mean? Like you just have to do it and live and do what you like to do. But yeah, I think with that, I'm going to wrap up this episode. I feel good about it. I hope whoever is listening resonates to how I feel. And, you know, maybe you can, you can just like check on your childhood self and like be like, hey, how's it going? And like, it's really like cool to like compare how you are now. You know, like there was a trend that happened on social media that was like, my childhood self would think I'm so cool now. And it's like so true. Like it's like really fun to like bask in that idea, because as a kid, like, look, I did not know what was going on. Like I was just living funly and I was going along with the ride and I was myself and I was happy. And I always thought like I wanted to be someone that was really cool. Like someone complimenting me and telling me I was cool was like the best compliment ever. I was just like, you think I'm cool? Like, thank you. And I like strive for that, especially like in middle school. I was like, yeah, I'm cool. Slowly diminished. Yeah, I'm gonna admit it did slowly diminish. But then I come back and I'm like, I think I'm cool. You know, sometimes I don't need to derive it from other people. I think I'm cool. Which is so, yes. Give yourself compliments. Give yourself compliments because you deserve them. And if there's a compliment you're trying to seek out from other people and you're not getting it, just tell it to yourself and it'll manifest. Trust. It's true. You know, it's so true. You can't always expect other people to catch your drift. It's okay. So just do it for yourself, man. Like, just, you know, you're cool. You're like figuring it out. Doesn't matter how old you are. You're going through life and you did it so in a such good way, and you should be, you know, proud and also excited for the future. God damn it, you know. So yeah, ending notes, you are cool and you are your best supporter and your biggest fan. Anyways, don't forget to take it easy on yourself as always, and I'll catch you guys in the next one. Bye.